I invite you to turn with me from your Bible. Romans chapter 16 is where I'm reading today. And some think maybe Romans 16 was an add-on, or maybe as Paul getting ready to send out the letter, he wrote down a list of some of the friends that he was acquainted with, people that he knew there in Rome and in other places. And among those is this little verse that I'm looking at today. And so Romans chapter 16, verses 3 and 4, and it says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them." And he goes on and says, "Greet the church that meets at their house." And many of the early churches met in people's homes, not in fancy buildings, sometimes maybe in public places as well. But the letter to the Romans includes a whole list of affirmations. And if you were to count the names there, there are 27 or 28 different people that Paul mentions here in the last book of, or last chapter of Romans. But Aquila and Priscilla specifically are mentioned as people who were friends who risked their lives for him. They were husband and wife. They had become Christians even before they came to Corinth, where they met Paul. They had been in Rome, and the Caesar had expelled the Jews from Rome, and so Priscilla and Aquila ended up in Corinth at the same time that Paul arrived there, and actually invited Paul, I think, into their home to live. They shared a common occupation. They were RV salesmen. They were tent makers. And so folks who traveled often had trouble finding a motel room, so they took their lodging with them. And so they shared business, and they shared faith, and they shared life together. And Paul mentions how special they were to him. They had risked their lives for him. And we're not told the details of that, whether it was a specific instance or whether it was just a time when maybe they were targeted by a group of folks. We don't know exactly how they had risked their lives, but they put themselves in jeopardy for him. And the incident or the occasion is something very memorable to Paul. He remembers that, and who wouldn't? I wonder, do you have a friend like that? Do you have someone who would risk their life for you, who would maybe go to extreme measures to protect you or to watch over you? Do you have a friend that you would risk your life for as well? Friendships like that are rare, but they're precious and they're important to us. And we live in a crazy world that's often a lonely world. And Mother Teresa once wrote and said, "The greatest disease in the West versus the East, or the areas of India, Middle East, some of that, but in the Western world, the greatest disease is not leprosy or TB or anything like that. It's the disease of being unwanted or unloved or uncared for. We can cure physical diseases, but there are many in the world who are dying for lack of love. The poverty in the West is different than the poverty in the East. The poverty of the West is loneliness and spiritual things and the hunger for love, a hunger for God." And Mother Teresa had seen that even probably in her ministry there in India. George Barna, a few years back, observed that adults, especially under the age of 30, regularly strive to be connected to a substantial number of other people. And yet, despite all of those connections, there is a nagging sense of loneliness. The social network by internet and text message and mobile devices. They somehow make those frequent appearances at the coffee shop or the restaurant or the theater, and yet somehow those connections are lacking because they're not fulfilling folks as needed. It's a lonely world that we live in. We have so many connecting devices, but somehow the emptiness is still there. And it's a selfish world as well, because it seems that everyone is out for themselves. Society is at the risk of becoming so independent and so self-absorbed that we abandon our responsibility to society and making the world a better place. It's almost as if folks are just in it for themselves and what I can get and what's for me, but who cares what happens out there? We live in an untrusting world as well, a world that is fearful and not sure what is going to happen, and whether it's the fear of mass shootings or the fear perhaps of a disease or an illness, or maybe it's the fear of rejection. There are all kinds of things. A company was afraid its workers were not doing well, and so they hired a new CEO. And the boss was determined to rid the company of all the slackers. And so on a tour of the facility, the CEO noticed a guy leaning up against the wall. And with the room full of workers, there's one guy leaning up against the wall. And so he decided that he would make an example of that guy. And so he went up to him and he asked him, "How much money do you make a week, young man?" And he said, "Well, I make about $500 a week." And so the CEO reached in his pocket and pulled out $500 and handed it to him and said, "Now, get out and don't ever come back." Well, he was feeling pretty good about his first firing until he asked someone, "What job did that young man do anyway?" And someone piped up and said, "Well, he was the pizza delivery guy." Somebody got a good tip that day. A lot of fear in our society. People will steal your credit information. There are internet fraud and scammers and all kinds of other fears, angry people, and then there's COVID on top of all of that. And the fears that are running rampant, the battle over masks and all of those other kinds of things, and it's a crazy world, a lonely world and a selfish world and an untrusting world and a busy world. How many appointments do you have today? Places to go or jobs to do or things on your list? And do you ever wonder why God scheduled a Sabbath day? Maybe he had something in mind that would be good for us if we'd take advantage, but we live in a busy world. Despite all of those things, we are finding that many are without connections, without those important relationships. No family close by, perhaps. The kids are all grown and moved away, or maybe you moved to a new place, or maybe there are those losses because of family feuds or fights or whatever. Maybe you're not outgoing, or maybe you're afraid because of past hurts or past relationships, and activities are difficult to come by, and the COVID shutdown as we experienced up until recently. Maybe it's a fear that it might happen again. And the folks, especially in the nursing homes and that are shut away, somehow that fear of the loneliness and the disconnect, it's a scary thing. Many people are without connections. They're looking for a place where somebody will know them, know their name, and care about them, and have a conversation. But even more than that, somebody who maybe they can eat a meal with, or somebody that they can share an activity with, and somebody that they can connect with in a friendship way. And to learn to trust somebody who maybe someday might even risk their life, or at least risk a little bit of time. People, Jack R. Van Ens quote is quoted by saying, people join churches more because they want warmth, not just light. We like to think as pastors that people come to hear our stunning proclamation of the gospel and to share that fiery message or hear whatever the preacher has to say. But in honesty, what keeps people coming back is the friendships, the connections, the relationships that are fostered between folks who worship and serve together. That friendship. The Apostle Paul had found friends who were willing to risk their lives for him, friends with the same occupation and the same activities and the same faith in Christ, and they believed in Jesus, and their belief was turning into mission to share Christ with others. And so they were friends in ministry together. And even in the tough situations, somewhere the ministry encountered hostility and put their lives at risk, but they served faithfully and they found a connection in that. And God desires for us, I believe, to connect with friends and then to connect those friends with Him. Making friendships is part of our Christian calling, part of our Christian responsibility to make friends. Maybe you feel like you're not very good at that, or maybe because of some of the activities and the shutdowns and all of that thing that's gone on in the past that it's been difficult. But often the gospel message of Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, the salvation by His grace, is shared best among friends and family. And if you think about your own spiritual life, why did you start going to church? Was it because someone brought you? Maybe your mom or your dad or your family, or maybe a friend invited. Maybe you were one of those rare people who just decided you were going to go no matter what and find a place. But most folks, even 80 to 90%, are attending church because somebody brought them or invited them, a family member or a friend. And so perhaps that's our best avenue to share the gospel as well. Do you have a home? Well, you have a ministry tool, a place where you can invite folks to come and get acquainted with you and to share life, and eventually you get to share your faith. Do you have an activity, a hobby, or a thing that you enjoy to participate? Maybe it's taking a walk on the Nickel Plate Trail or something like that. That's a ministry tool as well, because you can invite someone to join you. There are things that you can use to build relationships and friendships, and eventually, if you're able to connect well enough, you share your heart and your faith with Christ. Friendships are a good thing in itself, but the even better thing is to share Christ with your friend, and to share your friend with Christ, and to have that kind of fellowship that's warm and connected. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. Those who live by the rules of the Old Testament, there were those. He said, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. And so Paul's goal, to become whatever he can to share his faith with others. Connecting folks with the Lord often begins with a friendship. And so making new friendships is the task. And that's not always an easy thing, especially if you already have your set of friends. You grew up in this town, in this community, and you already have all the friends you can handle. And so how do you have time to make new ones? It's an intentional kind of thing. Where your older friends get jealous, how come they're not talking to me anymore? What's up with that? Or will they somehow get a sense that maybe they're being neglected or overlooked for someone else? Maybe if they're really good friends, those friends may need to understand that it's part of your mission. Somehow we need to continue to make new friendships. And it takes time and effort and priority. Making friendships, it's maybe a job, maybe it's an intentional thing, but it also means some fun or some fellowship or some food or some softball or golf or fishing or whatever those activities. So do you know somebody who is lonely? Maybe they need some fun in their life. Maybe you know somebody who is struggling to get connected. You can be their friend. You can invite them. You can share some life with them and eventually perhaps share a little bit of your faith in Christ. Somehow it's important that we as believers take the responsibility to realize our calling is to share Christ with the community around us, with the world around us. Our job is to be a friend in order to share Christ with those around us. Sometimes it costs us. We have to sacrifice or to be intentional. There was a king who wanted to show his people how much he loved them. And so he decided to host a great banquet for all of the people of his kingdom. And he decided that he would provide the meat and the vegetables and the dessert and all of the trimmings for that great feast. And all he asked the people of his kingdom to do was to come and bring their best bottle of wine that they could pour into the vat and share that together. And so the invitations went out and the requests were made. And one poor farmer decided that he was not going to give his best wine. Instead, in the bottle, he would just put water. After all, who would ever notice one bottle of water mixed in with all of the other bottles of fine-tasting wine? And so the king would never know. The taste would still be good. And so he came and he attended the banquet. He climbed the stairs up to the great vat and poured his bottle of water into the vat. Nobody knew. He had fooled everybody there. And so he laughed and chuckled to himself at how he got away with this thing. And as he sat down at the table ready for his feast and had filled his plate with delicious food, the king was so proud to honor all of his guests and all of those folks there. He picked up his royal chalice and put it under the spigot and poured out into his cup pure, clean water. Everybody else in the kingdom had decided to do the same thing. It seems everybody thought their one little bottle of water wouldn't make any difference whatsoever. Well, you make a difference. And you can make an eternal difference in the life of somebody else. The expectation that somebody else will do it is not the calling. If our church seems cold or unfriendly, whose fault is it? If our church doesn't reach those who are lost, whose fault is it? And so we're in this together. It's our calling and our ministry, our mission to share Christ with our world and our community. We are to do that best by connecting with friends, especially new friends, because those new friends are people that may not know Christ. Your old friends and the people that you're around, you want to share Christ with them too, but You've probably already done that. Just Paul connected with friends, so God desires that we develop friendships that will connect the world's lonely and lost with His wonderful love and grace. And so I have some challenges, as usual, for you. First of all, this week I want to invite you to pray that God would bring into your life a potential new friend. God would bring into your sphere of influence somehow a potential new person that you might invite into your life. And then a second thing would just be to set a goal for yourself. Maybe 3 or 4 occasions during the next month, be intentional about inviting someone to an outing or an activity or something that you can do together. Keep it simple. It doesn't have to be an elaborate feast. It could be coffee at McDonald's or wherever they serve coffee these days. I don't know if it's there or not. Some places are open and some are not. Maybe it's at Chiaretti's or other places. Maybe it's a picnic. Maybe it's s'mores in the backyard. Or maybe it's a project you're working on at home. Or maybe it's to play Skip-Bo or Uno or whatever games you like to play together. But just plan some things or invite folks into your life to have a conversation and get acquainted, because there are folks who are lonely and they may put on that happy face and that loving face, and yet in down deep inside maybe just really be hurting, and you can make such a difference. A second thing, or an alternative to planning 3 or 4 activities or being intentional, would be just to say yes. Or maybe I should say I, right? Since we learned that new old English word. Maybe just say yes to participate in an outing or an activity that's already planned. Somebody invites you. Don't say, well, I'll think about it. They invite you to do something with them. Well, let me get back to you. That's sort of like, no, I don't really want to do that. Or I might get a better offer. We live in a FOMO world, right? The fear of missing out. And so folks will say, well, I'll let you know, because they really don't want to say yes to you because they might miss out on some better opportunity. That's the kind of crazy world we live in, and it's kind of selfish and it's self-centered and all of that. We need to just say yes. You get invited, make that friendship. Take the time to say yes. I recently missed an opportunity. I was too busy. I got invited to the porch to come and have coffee, and I was busy, and so instead of getting acquainted with some new friends, I stayed busy and I missed that opportunity. Didn't want to intrude, but in the process, didn't say yes and missed an opportunity. And how often have you not said yes to an invitation, to a friendship or a relationship, or to connect with some new folks? And so during the next few weeks, say yes. Take advantage of those opportunities to be involved, to connect. Ask God to help you be intentional and to care about people, because their lives and their souls matter, and you might be that one person that really matters to them as well. The Holy Spirit does work in our lives if we pray and ask and listen, and I believe He's at work in our lives and in yours this week. And so let's pray as we close. Father, thank You for those precious friends gathered together here, but all around our community, all around our state and our nation. Lord, in the aftermath 20 years ago of 9/11, even over the last weekend, we've been reliving that and seeing how people sacrificed their lives for us, and how in the 20 years since there have been men and women in military and other places who've given their lives in service or sacrifice. Lord, all you're asking us to do is to be a friend or to care enough to reach out. It's not much of a sacrifice, Lord, and yet it could make an eternal difference in someone's life if we are willing to care and to do that. Lord, just show us. Guide us, Lord. Open our minds and our eyes and our ears to your Holy Spirit's leading. And may we see that person who is lonely or who you're putting in our path. And Lord, as we get invited to share life with others, may we be willing just to take advantage of those opportunities. Lord, even in a time when there's still COVID Delta variant, Lord, and the risks and the dangers of that, Lord, there are people who are hurting and struggling and people who need that love and that attention. God, help us to know you and to follow you. We just ask, Lord, that you would give us wisdom, ears, willingness, intentionality. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.